They say don't touch your face, but man, how can you not? Is he not our steady anchor? It's been so hard. It's been hard. And what sees us through? But Christ. I'm overwhelmed, God, by your grace. I've been so frustrated. I've been so sinful. But you have kept me. You have kept us. Oh, the words of that song. You are our anchor. And the anchor holds. And it holds in spite of the storm. It holds in spite of our sin. It holds us as individuals. It holds us as a faith family. We will persevere. We will persevere to the end. No matter the storm, no matter what form it takes, no matter how inconvenient it is. I am overwhelmed this morning, God, of the beauty of Christ and the steadfastness, not of my power and not of my faith. I am overwhelmed at the goodness of Christ. Break us and mold us into you, into your likeness, into your goodness, into your righteousness, and into your holiness. We ask this in your name. Amen. And I apologize. Today's the first day that I have a teenager in the house, so I'm really emotional. Do you not love corporate worship, beloved? To not be able to meet and then to meet. Oh, I am so thankful for our Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ezra. I was asked this week when I was preparing to preach, and I was asked the text, and I said, Ezra, I'm going to go Ezra. And they said, interesting book to go to as we are studying through these disciplines. But I believe there's some really good stuff. So if you have your Bibles, Ezra chapter 7. Again, apologize. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 10, we'll read in just a moment. We'll only do one verse this morning, but we will read in just a moment. In C.S. Lewis's classic Screwtape Letters is a book made up of letters. It's a fictional book, but it holds so much doctrinal truth, and it's just so good. If you have never read it, I would encourage you to read it. I actually have not even read it all the way through, but there's some good things there. But in his classic Screwtape Letters, the book made up of letters by Screwtape, who is a demon, who is writing these letters to his young nephew, Wormtail, in the ways of how to tempt and lead people away from God. And so it's a rather interesting take on the spiritual warfare that we go through. But in one of the letters that the uncle writes to his nephew, Screwtape says this. He says, it is funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. I love that. It's funny how mortals always picture us putting things in their minds, but in reality, our best work as demons is done by keeping things out. The great work of Satan is that he is not putting things in your mind, but he's keeping knowledge of God from your mind. The greatest attack that Satan can bring upon your life, beloved, is not that you had a bad hair day, not that someone got on your nerves, but you know, and you wanted to let them have it, right? It's not bad luck. And that's a lot of times what we think, that the greatest attack is bad luck, but that's not it, or a bad day. Instead, it is keeping out the knowledge of God that comes by studying the Word. Now today, we turn our attention to the next critical spiritual discipline, the unrelenting study of the Scriptures. The unrelenting study of the Scriptures. As stated in the previous weeks, we're really endeavoring to embrace that 1 Timothy 4:7 that says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Train yourself. Practice habits that will be profitable in forming you more into the likeness of Christ. We want to develop habits or disciplines that will profit us in spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. And so we've looked at these, and we could have even broken many of these up into two or three sermons apiece, but we kind of just took a very general overview. But walking in the Word, the exercise of prayer, the regular practice of the family, and corporate worship. Now today, we're going to turn to Ezra chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 10, and we're going to look at the spiritual discipline of studying the Scriptures. The spiritual discipline of studying the Scriptures. Now notice what we see here. It says, for Ezra has set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach it. And to teach his statutes and his ordinances in Israel. Now, Ezra is an interesting book, considering that it is titled after this guy, but yet he doesn't show up until chapter 7. It's actually two books in one. And the first six chapters is really more about Zerubbabel and the rebuilding of the temple. And then you have, I believe, it's right at 58, 60 years in between chapter 6 and 7. And so Ezra is the leader of the second wave of Israelites who were returning to Jerusalem after their captivity in Babylon. Zerubbabel came and he rebuilt the temple. All right. Then you have Ezra who comes and he does the second leadership. We'll talk about that in just a second. And then you have Nehemiah who comes and joins Ezra later, and he comes to rebuild what? But the walls around. So Zerubbabel is rebuilding the temple, Nehemiah rebuilding the walls. What's Ezra rebuilding? Well, he's rebuilding the religion. He is rebuilding the religion by the teaching of the law of God to the people. And so what better person than a priest and a scribe? What better person who has been under the teaching of the Scriptures since a very young age? But not only that, you see here that from a young age, and he's kept this commitment. He's made this commitment. I am going to study the law of God. And he is presently doing so. So there's he's probably one of the best examples other than Jesus Christ himself. And so I want to look at the Bible's description of Ezra here in order to teach and encourage you this morning in the practice of spiritual discipline. Now, I've switched up our outline just a little bit. You know, instead we're going to look at what is the unrelenting study of Scripture, but then we're going to look at how do I do it? What is some application? And then we're going to look at why should I do it? And the reason I put that why question, which has been kind of the second part in the last several weeks at the end, is I think the passage really kind of gears us more to the reason behind the study of Scripture. And so I really want to focus on that there at the end. So let's look at this, beginning with what. What is the unrelenting study of Scripture? Well, according here to the Bible, Ezra has set his heart to study the law of God, the law of the Lord. Now, as you break this down, you're going to find there's a lot of substance here, okay? First, notice it says to set. In the Hebrew, that means to establish, to make firm. Now, I have never been a handyman, but I am growing in that, in my sanctification of being a handyman. A little too much, I think. My wife is getting a little bit overzealous in my sanctification, and so therefore we have been building a lot of things, and so we built the kids kind of a little fort and stuff, and so one of the things you do, you know, you square it up and you put your post in, right, and you put your sack creed in, and what happens when you put your sack creed in, right, it hardens and it makes the post what? Unmovable. That's what this is. To set means unwavering, unmovable. And so here we find that he has made a firm decision to be unwavering in the study of the Scriptures. He has made a commitment. I am going to do this, and I am going to stay with it. But then secondly, it says that he has done so with his heart. He has set his heart to this task. Now, in the Jewish society, the heart represented the totality of a person. To give your heart to something meant you gave your everything to it. You did not hold back. You didn't hold back. You gave everything that you had. An example would be to love someone with all of your heart. You're not reserving any of that love for somebody else. Right? You're for your spouse. You love them. You don't have somebody over here that you're splitting the love. I'm giving you all that I've got as a spouse to you. Or if you're playing a ball game, baseball, bat, whatever, football, you give it all your heart. In other words, you gave it your all. You didn't half-heart it, all right? You weren't being lazy. And so thus, Ezra has not only committed to the study of the Scriptures, but he has given it everything that he has. And then thirdly, it says to study the law of the Lord. Now, to study, that word study in the Hebrew is darash, meaning to inquire or to seek out. Now, it carries with it an intensity, as you'll see in a moment, in a more negative way. We'll get to that in a moment, but it carries with it an intensity. You are strongly seeking information. You are strongly inquiring about something. So, what is the focus here? Well, the Lord, the law of the Lord. So Ezra is very strongly seeking information and knowledge about the Lord. How does he do this? Through the law of God, which for him would have been the first five books, and possibly the book of Joshua, or maybe even the book of Judges, but we know for sure the first five books. And so the Scriptures is God's way by which Ezra is finding more information out, getting to know God as best as he can, which is exactly what God has given us the Scriptures for. It is his self-revelation. It is him writing a letter and saying to you and I, I'm God, I'm right here. So if you want to know who I am, here is where you need to begin, and here's where you need to spend your time. And so that's what he's doing. So as you can see, the first part of this verse carries a lot of substance. And you understand, hopefully you will see why and understand why I call it the unrelenting study of Scripture. It doesn't mean that all day long you spend hours and hours and that's all you... No. It just means your life is unrelenting. You have a life pursuit of knowing God through the Scriptures. We want to define this. We can say that all Christians should devote their whole heart to seeking to know the Lord by the very means that he has given us, the Bible, the Scripture. That is what this discipline is. This discipline is a never yielding pursuit of knowledge of God. And we'll get to why on that in just a moment, but it is just a never-ending life pursuit of God, that you have committed your life to knowing this God. And so as you get older, okay, you're not getting dumber to the knowledge of God. As you're getting older, you're not staying neutral, but as you get older, you are learning until the day you die and you know God in complete fulfillment. Okay, that's what this is. A never-yielding pursuit of the knowledge of God. And as stated earlier, the greatest attack of Satan isn't putting things into our mind. It's keeping those things out. And I think that you and I can say, that's my testimony. I have struggled my life with really learning about God. And I want to know more, but I really maybe have struggled. There's been a lot of hindrances, right? There's just a lot of hindrances to your study. One of those we can say is time. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but we say, I just don't feel like I have enough time to study or things like that, right? Well, let me just give you three things that hinder our study of the Scriptures, three practical things here that are hindering you that you can actually work on or you can begin to pray about and seek help with. The first one is our hearts are set on sinful and worthless things. Notice that his heart was set on the study of the law of the Lord. But sadly, we tend to set our heart on sinful or worthless things. For example, David. When David inquired of Bathsheba, remember the story? Go and find out who that woman is. The same word, derash, is used, the word for study. David is inquiring of her. So what does that mean? It means that David strongly sought out knowledge of Bathsheba, of his sin. Oh, beloved, you and I are either doing one or the other. There may be a third point here in the middle. I'll get to that in a moment, but I would still say it's one or the other. But you're either strongly seeking of the Lord, or you are strongly seeking something else. And it may be sinful. And I would dare to say you know if it's sinful or not, right? Maybe sinful. You spend time and energy to acquire knowledge or pleasure, whatever it may be. You're spending time and energy to experience and to know something. Whether you know it in your mind and your heart or you know it in your body. The only other thing I would say there, which I still would say, you know, it could be argued, it may be kind of more of a neutral thing, but I still think it's the other, that your heart may be set not on sinful things, but on worthless things. On worthless things. Not sinful in of itself, but, you know, you spend too much time filling the hobby. You spend too much time on Facebook. You spend too much time on watching TV. Your heart is set on several hours of this is what I'm going to do that really is not benefiting you. Not saying you can't do it, but it's not benefiting you eternally and spiritually. The truth of the matter is, beloved, many of us are like David, that we have our hearts set on something else rather than the Lord. But secondly, our hearts are not even in it. Maybe you're one of those people this morning who says, my heart is really not even in the study, Brian. I just don't have that strong, compelling desire. Psalms 119 says, I delight in your word, or I shall run towards your commandments. Sadly, that is not the testimony of many, right? Sadly, we're kind of the other. We're not running to the study of the word at all. And again, the study of the word and the reading of the Bible are two separate things. I'll get into that in a moment. But this, I mean, we're talking about intense, strong study. If this is you, could I encourage you, beloved, this morning? Can I encourage you to call out upon the Lord? Seek Him. John Piper, actually, in one of his books, Desiring God, he actually talks about the issue of joy and how David, in his time of because of his sin with Bathsheba, what does he do? But he actually repents and he asks the Lord to what? To restore the joy of his what? Salvation. Many of you who do not have a desire for the study, the intense study of the Word, and you're like, I don't know what to do about that. Beloved, go to the Lord in prayer and ask and beg of the Lord to give you that which you do not have. Which is exactly what David does after his sin with Bathsheba. Restore to me, Lord, the joy of my salvation, the delight in you. And then I would say thirdly, many of us are hindered in the fact that we don't know where to start. I have found this to be extremely so with planning a vacation. I told Trey the other day, I now understand why everybody goes to the beach, because it's just easy. Give me a condo on the beach and let's just go. But when you're wanting to plan a vacation and you don't know where you're going to go, that's the most frustrating thing in the world. I need a vacation from that moment. Where do we go? Well, I want to go here. What about here? Well, we can't go here because we can't. Well, that's too expensive, and well, there's nothing to do, and it's just frustrating. You don't know where to begin. Unlike Ezra, you and I have more than five books. And so we think, oh, well, that's even worse. No, that's actually better. Because we have the whole story. We have the whole story. We have the gospel in its fulfillment. Where do you begin but with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so you go and you begin with that. God created the heavens and the earth. What happened? But man sinned against God. Okay, then you go from there to God, to man sinning, and man is under the judgment of God. The man is sinful before a holy God. And well, what is the answer to that? But that he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins, that you may be restored, that you may be redeemed. That which was broken can be fixed. And you see it all in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And then you even go even further than that in the restoration, that one day God is going to restore all things through the work of Christ. You begin with the gospel, beloved. And when you begin there, you're going to begin following that into the deep things of Scripture. And you're going to see the beauty of God. And here's the beauty of this also, that if you begin with the Scripture and you are with the gospel and you are an unbeliever, then you begin to see that you are in need of Christ. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're going, I'm an unbeliever. There's a reason I don't have these desires. Repent of your sins and confess them to the Lord. Call out to Him and believe upon Him, for He gave His life and rose from the grave for your redemption. You say, okay, well then how do we study the Scriptures? What does the study of the Scriptures entail? Well, as we have seen in several cases, in the attempt to be expositional and really sticking with a verse or a passage, we actually don't find here a whole lot in the life of, in the list of do's and don'ts. But notice that he does say that he studies and that he is seeking the Lord. And so we find actually in Scripture, in Proverbs, 18:15, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge. But notice this, an ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So the wise seek it out. So we understand that Ezra set his heart to seek out the knowledge of the Lord. Well, how would one do that in his day, and how would one do that in our day? Well, first, let me just say, I truly believe it would begin in prayer. Psalms 119:18, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things of your law. We must understand, if we're going to truly learn about spiritual things, we need spiritual sight. Where does that come from? But from the grace of God, from the work of the Spirit. If you're wanting to study and gain knowledge in the Scriptures today, beloved, you must understand that it is going to come about through prayer and reliance on God. So call out to Him in times. Ask Him to give you the motivation and the desire to study. Ask Him before you study, while you're studying, after your study, to help you know these things, okay? He will answer you. Secondly, we seek in the study of the Scriptures. Ezra had to focus in on the Scriptures itself. Now, I know that sounds easy. You just read the Bible. Again, reading and studying are two separate things. Studying the Bible requires you to slow down. For the past several years, my goal has just been to read through the Bible as many times as I can. And so I would just read every day. Not every day, I'd miss days, but every day I could that I was trying to read, I would read large portions of Scripture. And so, we were just as much as I could. And I'm just reading, chronological, book by book, some Old Testament, New Testament, just whatever plan that I had for that year. And that's great to do that. But if you're really wanting to study, slow down. Read a small portion, grab pen and paper, write down the things that your questions that you got, and begin looking for the answers. Write down the things that you notice, cross-reference, make connection points of Old and New Testament and doctrines and things. Make these connections and just slow down and begin to dig in. Ezra would also have to seek the help of others. And so I would encourage you to read other books on the Bible. Read other books on the Bible. Growing Christians are reading Christians. Growing Christians are reading Christians. This is a true statement. There is a wealth of knowledge out there. We have our book table. You can get to it. We can let you get to it if you would like one. But I just brought some books here from my own office here. J.I. Packer, Knowing God. Phenomenal book on getting to know the Lord. Phenomenal. J.I. Packer. We have some, I believe these are on the book table. These are the church basics. These come from Jonathan Liebman, Mark Devernim from Nine Marks. If you want to understand the Lord's Supper, understanding congregation's authority, understanding church discipline, understanding the Great Commission, or how about R.C. Sproul, how does God's law apply to me? Beloved, we have a treasure trove of wealth that you can get. And look, they're not even that thick. They're not even that big. That you can read. And so a lot of times we think that I don't need to read somebody else. Beloved, don't be so arrogant and prideful to think that God only speaks to you and he hasn't spoken to other people. He has. Sometimes you got to be careful in who you read, but make sure these are gospel-centered, Christ-centered, sound theological books, okay? All right, if you would like any of them, see us on this. But I would also tell you that we must seek by learning from others. We seek by learning from others. For example, corporate worship. What are we doing today? What am I doing? I'm teaching. What Ezra, we're going to get to in a moment, he taught other people. And so after Nehemiah built the wall, Ezra stood on a platform and a podium, and he read the word, and people would walk around, and they would begin to show them. So corporate worship is about us learning. It's about teaching. It bothers me when people say, well, you know, that pastor is a preacher, but this pastor is a teacher, as though the two are separate. I heard that this week, and it bothered me. No. No. The preacher is a teacher. And if the preacher is not teaching, he's not a preacher. The preacher is a teacher. And so in corporate worship, the preacher stands and he takes the word and he exposes the truth in it and he gives it to the people that you may learn. If you like those who are just exciting but give you nothing else, who teach you, if you walk out and you learn nothing, well, beloved, then we have failed in the corporate worship. My favorite comment from you when you leave, I never knew that. I never knew that. That's my favorite comment because that means you learned something. Corporate worship, we learn from others. Sunday school, we have great Sunday school teachers here. We have great Sunday school teachers. And our goal is to train up, you know, more and even greater. To make them greater and make others greater. We want to have a robust Sunday school program here. So where can you learn from others? But what? Going into like Danny's class, Dwayne's class, Mr. Jerry's class, and what? But learning from your Sunday school teachers. Or how about Wednesday nights? Or how about this one? Finding a mentor. Your pastor of discipleship here does phenomenal with that. He mentors people. He goes through books with people, individually, one-on-one. He does such a wonderful job of that. And the goal is as he works and meets with people and goes through books and builds relationship, that eventually what happens? They go and do the same. To take for an older man or a younger man, take another man or a woman, take a woman under their wing and mentor them, beloved. That's how we grow in the Scriptures. And how I wish somebody would have done with me. We mentor others. Now, as we move to the end here, why should I be committed to the study of the Scriptures? Why should I be committed to the study? Why was Ezra strongly committed to the study of the Scriptures? Well, there are three things that I see in this text that I think are very important that I hope will help you today. Number one, Ezra was a disciple. Notice this. It says, for Ezra. Now, notice that for. What is it there for, all right? For Ezra. Well, it is a note of explanation, meaning that the previous verses are going to help us understand what's going on here. So if you have your Bible, just go back to a few verses before there. Look at verse 8. It says, he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first of the first month, he began to go up from Babylon. And on the first of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, notice this, because the hand of God, the good hand of God, was upon him. You find that all through this book, especially concerning Ezra. God is with Ezra. But that phrase, that metaphor right there, indicates close presence and blessing of God on a person's life. It implies that the person is a follower and servant of the Lord, that he's doing God's will and God is with him in this, all right? That God is blessing him with. So the Lord is blessing him. He is a follower of the Lord, which we know means a disciple. But guess what disciple means? We tend to forget this part of the definition. Disciple doesn't just mean follower. It also means what? Learner. The disciples of Jesus didn't just follow the teachings of Jesus, because matter of fact, they didn't really follow too well at the beginning, but they were what? Learners. Learners under Christ. So the person who is a disciple is also a learner. So let me point this out. The study of the Scripture is a critical characteristic of being a disciple. The study of the Scripture is a critical characteristic of being a disciple. And I am sad to say that there were times in my life that if this was the only characteristic you had to go by, you would have thought I was a heathen. I was not studying the Scriptures. I'm ashamed of that. And I'm saddened because at times I feel like I'm so far behind. But it is a characteristic that cannot remain, you know, ignored within the belief. The believer has to come to a point in their life, if they are truly a Christian, where they begin to pursue the knowledge and the learning of the Lord. All Christians are learners, meaning that all Christians will study and seek knowledge of God throughout their life. Sometimes better than others, more consistent at other times, but they will read books. They will attend church and Sunday school, and they will listen to podcasts or whatever the avenue is. But they're going to, whether it's just discussion, meeting with a stronger, mature Christian, just having discussions with them. Learning, beloved, is a characteristic of the believer. And if it is not your characteristic, then you may want to begin examining why. And I would also point out to you that the knowledge of God begins in salvation. If you're not a believer and you're wondering why you're not doing this, then call out to Christ in repentance of sin and seek Him. Call out to Him. You can do that today. You can talk to me and Brother Trey about that today. Salvation begins our life journey of studying and knowing the Lord. But secondly, Ezra practiced what he learned. Notice there what it says. It says, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law and practice it, to practice it. The end goal is not just the gaining of knowledge. That's the negative side. And this is really what tends to put people off. But you need to know something, that it's not that's sinful and they need to repent. But those who gain knowledge for knowledge's sake and they're going to be prideful and they look down upon those who don't have the knowledge, that's sinful. We have to be careful that there is a temptation that the seeking of knowledge will make us prideful and puff us up. But the end goal is not just to gain knowledge, but the knowledge begin to transform us. To gain knowledge for knowledge's sake was the characteristic of a Pharisee. For Jesus said in Luke 11:28, blessed rather those who hear the word of God and what? And obey it. Unlike the Pharisees who had knowledge but didn't obey. Ezra practiced what he learned. And the fact is that Christians cannot be Christ-like if they have not learned what Christ is like. Steve Lawson says it this way, Ezra mastered the Word, but more importantly, the Word mastered what? Mastered him. And so he carefully studied, or his careful study led to a holy life. Do you have a holy life? Is your marriage, is it holy? Is your parenting holy? Are you holy in the workplace? Are you holy at church? Or, do you have sinful thoughts that you just that you're not fighting off? I mean, do you have a holy life? Are you lazy? Are you fearful? Are you a good neighbor? The study of the Word not only teaches us how to do this, it enables us to do this. It enables me to live a holy life. D.L. Moody said it rightly, that God did not give us the Scriptures to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. And then thirdly, Ezra taught what he learned. Simply put, disciples make disciples. That's Trey's motto. Disciples make disciples. In Ezra's case, he made disciples through the public preaching and teaching. But that isn't for all of us. For some of us, that's how we do it. But there are other avenues. Some people do it in their home. Some people do it as Sunday school teachers. Some people do it in mentoring somebody at work or somebody in the church. We do it in some way or form where we are passing along that which we have learned. And by the way, that which we are living. As one pastor said, not everyone is gifted to teach in the public setting, but whatever you have gained from God's word and incorporated into your daily life ought to be passed on to others whom God has put into your circle of influence. And yet many in our churches are not doing this. They're not fulfilling this responsibility. For Hebrews 5:12 said, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." Because God's people are not studying, they are not living nor teaching others. This is why churches are struggling. I dare say this is why FBC has probably struggled in the past. We need more, and I'm going to put emphasis on men, but we need more men and women. We need both. But we certainly need to see an increase in men and women who are teaching other people. And men, you are called to lead. So this is the reason why we struggle to find other teachers in Sunday school classes, to start new classes. This is why Christians are shallow, because there's not enough people to go around to mentor and help people walk through tough situations. This is why churches are struggling with sin, why churches are so dysfunctional. This is why churches can't find pastors, because there's not enough men who have been taught and not enough men who are living what they know. So imagine with me for a moment as we prepare to close. The lack of unrelenting study, how it has created major problems for the Christian church. But imagine with me, if God's people were unrelenting in the study of Scripture, lives would be transformed, sins would be defeated. With the gaining of knowledge, because this is one reason why we don't evangelize. We feel like we don't have enough knowledge, and so therefore we're scared. But with the gaining of knowledge comes the gaining of confidence, which would lead to greater evangelism, more people in the church, a greater number in the worship attendance, community transformation, because more people out there are being saved, and more people out there are being mentored, and more people out there, our lives are being transformed. And you may even see a transformation of the leadership of our government leading to godlier laws. Why? All because people set their heart to the study of the law of God, that they may practice it and they may teach it. In closing, I give you another C.S. Lewis quote, but this time not from the Screwtape Letters, but from the Chronicles of Narnia. For in his second book, the children are leaving Narnia to head home, and out of the four children, the two oldest ones discover that they will never return to Narnia. They want to come back. We want to see Aslan. We want to see the great lion. We want to see Narnia. And so when he tells them that they cannot return for they are too old, their hearts sink in despair. We'll never get to see and know Aslan again. But Aslan reassures them, and this is what he says. He says, but in your world, but there, in your world, he says, I have another name. You must learn to know me by that name. This was the very reason why you were brought to Narnia, that by knowing me here for a little while, you may know me there better. Oh, beloved, that is the beauty of the study of the Scriptures, that for a little while of studying every day, you may know God a little bit in that moment and in that hour, whatever it may be, that you may be able to know him better out there in the rest of your day. By studying, you will know him better in mind and in heart and in life, and then you can help others know him better. I pray this is your desire. And if it is, I pray that you will commit today to the study of Scriptures, that you will repent of the lack of your study of Scriptures, that you would call out to God in prayer and reliance on the Spirit of God to work within you, that you may begin to try to achieve this discipline, and that you will live what you've learned, and that you will teach it to others, that they may know God better. Let's pray.